What I want to do is I want to turn the call over to my incredible business partner. Mark is one of the best coaches, mentors, trainers, and an extraordinary visionary. He's devoted the past 25 years of his business life and his personal life to personal development. I mean, like no one I've ever seen. He's probably read more books in a week than most of you read in a year. I'm always amazed how he can read these multiple books all going at the same time. One of his biggest passions that drives him is being able to help people create wealth through the consumer direct selling industry. And he has done just that. Over the past 23 or so years, he has helped thousands of people to generate an additional income stream, and hundreds of people have been able to walk away from their full-time job, work from home, and have the choices that it's really allowed Mark and I to have. And he's very, very passionate about that. He's someone who walks the talk. There is nothing that he will say or teach that he hasn't already tried and tested. And that really is the key to his success. And that really is why you should listen so closely and take such great notes, because everything that Mark is going to share with you are things that he's applied to his life. So with that, what I'm going to do is turn the call over to my great friend, my business partner, Mark Scovern. Take it away, Mark.
Jeff, thank you very much for your very generous and kind introduction. I appreciate it. We're going to jump right in. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we begin with part one of a three-part series called Reignite Your Passion for Business and Life. And over the next consecutive 2 weeks, we will be conducting the following sections of this very life-changing teleseminar. Tonight, we're going to be covering Making Powerful Decisions Now. Next week, part two will be Create Your Life Purpose and Vision Statement. And then the last week will be part three entitled Create the Plan to Guarantee Achievement. How would you like a plan to guarantee achievement? Well, you know, these three parts are interlocked. They play on each other. They're three parts of the same series. So you want to make sure that you get all three parts of the teleseminar. Let me ask you a question. What if I were to say to you tonight, a very simple yet provocative statement, which is this: tell me what you want, and I'll show you exactly how to get it. Well, in this three-part teleseminar, that's exactly what I'll be doing. I'll be showing you how to get what you want in life, in business and in life both. And I would encourage you, as Jeff said, to do three things. First, commit to being on each of these three sessions on time and from the beginning until the very end. That's number one. Second, be in a quiet space, relaxed, centered. Let the cares of the world and what you have to do tomorrow or the next day or next week, let all that just fade to the background. Block out the obstacles and take notes on each section and really hone in on the information that I'm going to give you. And third, be open to the information, no matter how much it challenges you or causes you to call into question past paradigms and behaviors. In fact, keep something in mind. If something that I say challenges you, it doesn't mean it's the truth, and it doesn't mean you even have to accept it. But it does mean that you should look at it and possibly consider that it is something that really resonates in your life, as something that, if you handled, would provide tremendous breakthroughs for you. But because unless you change, you're really just going to continue to get what you've always got. Okay? Let's go ahead and begin. Did you know that your greatest results begin with a decision? All of your great results in life and in business will always begin with a decision. You see, there is a single mental move you can make which, in a millisecond, will solve enormous problems for you. It has the potential to improve almost any personal or business situation you will ever encounter, and it could literally propel you down the path to incredible success. We have a name for this magic mental activity. It's called a decision. And decisions, or the lack of them, and by the way, I want to insert that by not making a decision, you're actually making a decision. Sometimes people put off making decisions. Well, that's a decision not to decide, and it carries its own set of circumstances. But decisions, or the lack of them, are responsible for the breaking or making of many of a career. individuals who have become very proficient at making decisions without being influenced by the opinions of others are the same people whose annual incomes in all sorts of industries fall into 6- and 7-figure categories. However, it's not just your income that is affected by decisions. In fact, your whole life is dominated by this power. The health of your mind and body, the well-being of your family, your social life, the type of relationships you develop are all dependent upon your ability to make sound decisions. Decision-making, unfortunately, is not a class you can take, but it is a skill that can be developed, and I would say needs to be developed if you intend on being successful. You would think anything as important as decision-making when it has such far-reaching power would be taught in every school, but it is not. And to compound the problem, not only is decision-making missing from the curriculum of our educational institutions, up until now, really, it's also been absent from most corporate training and human resource programs that are available. So how is a person expected to develop this very important and critical mental ability? Quite simply, you must do it on your own. However, I think it's important to understand that it's not difficult to learn how to make wise decisions. You don't want to just make decisions. You want the majority of your decisions to be wise decisions. Armed with the proper information, and by subjecting yourself to certain disciplines, each one of you can become a very effective decision maker. You can virtually eliminate conflict and confusion in your life by becoming proficient at making decisions. Decision making brings order to your mind, and of course, this order is then reflected in your objective or your outside world, your results, or what you see manifested. You know, James Allen may have been thinking of decisions when he wrote, "We think in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but our looking glass." You see, no one can see you making decisions, but they will almost always see the results of your decisions. The person who fails to develop their ability to make decisions is doomed, because their indecision sets up internal conflicts that can, without warning, escalate into all-out mental and emotional wars. In fact, psychiatrists have a name to describe these internal wars. It's called ambivalence. My dictionary tells me that ambivalence is the coexistence in one person of opposite feelings toward the same objective. Now let's boil that down. This ambivalence is caused, plain and simple, by what we really want, which is registered in our conscious mind, being in conflict with the pre-planted programming, which is firmly held in our subconscious mind. So then the contradiction of the two, I'll give you an example, such as wanting to become a power team leader, a coach's corner member, or a director, or making a certain amount of income in our company, but also not wanting to do the work to accomplish it, is literally warfare that is waged within ourselves. Now, just in case you're wondering, this does not mean that you're crazy or even that you're unusual. To the contrary, it means you're human. We all have this in common. Consider this. All of our decisions begin with a thought. The thought, I should call Bob and follow up with him, or maybe I should get some prospects to the meeting or to the webinar or to this teleseminar that we've got going on. Often goes against another thought. Well, but I'd rather watch my favorite television show, or I'd rather go out and have dinner with my spouse or spousal equivalent or partner. This is what presents the conflict. Now, let's talk about what happens when decisions are not made. You do not require a doctorate degree in psychiatry to understand that you are going to have difficulty in your life by permitting your mind to remain in an ambivalent state for any period of time. The person who does not permit it to exist will become very despondent and virtually incapable of any type of productive activity. It is obvious that anyone who finds themselves in such a mental state is not living. At best, they are merely existing. A decision or a series of decisions would change everything. A very basic law of the universe is create or disintegrate. I'll repeat that. Create or disintegrate. See, indecision causes disintegration. How often have you heard a person say, I don't know what to do? How often have you heard yourself say, what should I do? Think about some of the indecisive feelings you and virtually everyone on this planet experience from time to time. Do these sound familiar? Love them or leave them? Quit or stay? Do it, don't do it. Go to work, watch television. Buy it, don't buy it. Say it to them, no, don't say it to them. Tell them, no, don't tell them. We could go on and on. You see, everyone on occasion has experienced these feelings of ambivalence. I told you, that's what it's like to be human. But if it happens to you frequently, you've got to decide right now to stop it. The cause of ambivalence, listen carefully, the cause of this kind of recurring and constant ambivalence is indecision. But we must keep in mind that the truth is not always in the appearance of things. You see, indecision is a cause of ambivalence. However, it's a secondary cause and not the primary cause. Here's what all decision makers have in common. You see, I've been studying human behavior of people who have become very proficient at making decisions for over a quarter of a century. They all have one thing in common. They have a very strong self-image, a high degree of self-esteem. Basically, they trust themselves. They may be as different as night is to day in numerous other aspects and come from all sorts of different industries or companies, but they certainly possess confidence. Low self-esteem or lack of confidence or not trusting oneself is the real culprit here. Decision makers are not afraid of making an error. I want to repeat that. Decision makers are not afraid of making an error. If and when they make an error in their decision or fail at something, they have the ability to shrug it off. They learn from the experience, but they will never submit to the failure. They understand that there's a difference in failing at something or having a decision be a failure and being a failure themselves. Every decision maker was either fortunate enough to have been raised in an environment where decision making was a part of their upbringing, or they developed the ability themselves at a later date. They are aware of something that everyone who hopes to live a full life must understand, and I hope that you understand this evening. Decision making is something you simply can't avoid. That is the cardinal principle of decision making. Decide right now where you are with whatever you've got. This is precisely why most people never master this important aspect of life. They permit their resources to dictate if and when a decision will or can be made. You know, looking back in history, when John Kennedy asked Wernher von Braun what it would take to build a rocket that would carry a man to the moon and return him safely to Earth, von Braun's answer was simple and direct: the will to do it. The will to do it. President Kennedy never asked if it was possible. He never asked if they could afford it, or any one of a thousand other questions. By the way, all of which would have, at the time, been very valid questions. President Kennedy made a decision, and he said publicly, "We will put a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth before the end of the decade." The fact that it had never been done before in all of hundreds of thousands of years of human history was not even a consideration. He decided where he was with what he had. The objective was accomplished in his mind the second he made the decision. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. It was only a matter of time, which is governed by natural law, before the goal was manifested in form for the entire world to see. Let's talk about what actually happens once you make a decision. If you're like most people, you're probably occasionally plagued by the following. Did I make the right decision? This is otherwise known as buyer's remorse. I wonder if any one of you have ever had this happen. Someone comes into your business, and a day or two later, they cancel and quit and go into the witness protection program. You never hear from them again. Well, if that's not happened to you, you just haven't recruited enough people. It's happened to everyone who's active in the business. This is buyer's remorse that is displacing their vision, and it's unfortunate for them. You see, what happens when they do that is they surrender their dream of what they could accomplish here for their automatic and default fear mechanism. Please hear me on this. If you're going to be successful at any venture in life or in life itself, you are going to have to become more comfortable in making decisions and carrying them through in the presence of fear. If you're going to wait for fear to leave, I have news for you. You're going to be waiting a long, long time. You know, I want to give you an example. You know, recently I was speaking to someone about the business, and I did a presentation, and I showed them coming in as a, you know, free agent, coming in as a representative, coming in as a broker, and then coming in with the Z-Kit, the whole thing. Also showed them coming in to, you know, to the coach's mentoring program and said, you know, the people that I want to work with become involved in all these different areas because this is your best leverage for success. And I said, you know, as I often like to say, I don't ever ask what do you think, because I really think that sets it up wrong. And plus, to be honest with you, not to be too arrogant, but I'm not interested in what they think. You know, I mean, we've got the goodies, right? So I said, you know, there's two or three different things the way I like to, you know, bring it to a close. And I said, one of my favorite questions is, so, and I'm going to use the name Bob. Bob's not indicative of the person, but, you know, Bob, what do you see for yourself here? Bob said, it looks terribly exciting. I haven't felt like this in a long time. But, you know, I just don't have the money. And I'll tell you how I've gotten about this, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm so committed to the outcome for people. I'm just really so committed to it. And what I'm going to tell you and how I handled this is going to make some of you feel uncomfortable. But I want to invite you to go ahead and stay with that uncomfortable feeling for a few moments. And I want you to just listen. So Bob said, this is terribly exciting. You know, this looks great, very exciting. You did a great job. I'd be pumped up to work with you. I haven't been this excited in a long time. I just don't have the money. And I said, Bob, is it okay if I coach you on this? And he said, sure. I said, I didn't ask you if you had the money. But his eyes kind of got big. He almost looked a little offended. I kind of put my hands toward him and, you know, became extra kind in my gestures to disarm him. I said, what I mean to say is this, Bob, all I asked you is what you see for yourself in this opportunity. Do you see that it's a match? Are you excited? Are you pumped up? That's what you said. That's what I want to talk about. The money, Bob, is a separate conversation. I'm not saying it's not a consideration. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about it. But you see, Bob, I didn't ask you about the money. And he said, all right, well, if it weren't the money aside, what do you see for yourself here? Well, he started going on and on and all over the place about what he'd like to accomplish and how fast he'd like to go to power team leader and coach's corner and director and get the company paid health insurance. And he was just going on. I mean, and, you know, by the time he was done, he had himself completely talked into doing the business. And I said, now let me partner with you in a conversation about ways, you know, we could look at for you to get the money, you know. And, you know, those of you who are used to working with me or listening to me on training calls know that I'll talk to people about everything from holding a yard sale, you know, a flea market or a yard sale, selling their one of their, you know, usually people that say they don't have the money have 3, 4, 5 television sets in their home. And I'll tell them, well, at least one of your television sets is keeping you broke, you know. Don't let a $500 decision keep you from making hundreds of thousands or potentially millions of dollars, you know? So, you know, I said, Bob, you already know what you want to do. and we're going to have this discussion about money. And I pointed out that money has nothing to do with the decision. The decision I was looking for, listen carefully, the decision you should be looking for is the business a match for them? And then we're not going to be stupid about this. We're not going to be naive. We're going to have to talk to them about the money part. But the first thing that you're looking for, and if you want your ratio of people to come into the business to increase, then you need to separate the money conversation from the conversation about whether or not it's a match for them. And I'm going to cover that more in detail in a few moments. So I pointed out that money has nothing to do with it. Once a person makes the decision, they will find the money every time. If that is the only benefit you receive from this particular message this evening on decision making, I urge you to burn it into your mind. It will change your life. I explained to this person that we're calling Bob that I never let money enter my mind when I'm deciding whether or not I will do something. Let me repeat that. I never let money enter my mind when I'm deciding whether or not I will do or will not do something. Now, I may have to figure out the money part later. See, whether or not I can afford it is not the consideration at that point. That's not the key consideration. Whether or not I want to or not to do something is the only consideration. Whether or not I'm committed to something, whether or not it aligns up with my objectives and my commitments and my passion and my mission on the planet, that's my consideration. And that should be your consideration. See, you can afford anything. There is an infinite supply of money. I'm going to say that again. There's an infinite supply of money. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not a little short of cash right now, but that has nothing to do with the fact that there's enough money on the planet. All of the money in the world is available to you when the decision is firmly made. If you need money, you will attract it. Now, look, I'm aware that there are any number of people, in fact, some of you who may say that's absurd. You can't just decide to do something if you do not have the necessary resources. And that's fine if that is the way you choose to think. I see that as a very limited way of thinking. And in truth, it probably is not thinking at all. It is very likely an opinion being expressed that was inherited from another older member of your family who did not do much thinking either. You see, thinking is very important. Decision makers are great thinkers. Do you ever give much consideration to your thoughts? How they affect the various aspects of your life? Do you ever call into question just default positions that you have and put them on the witness stand and challenge them and see if they hold up or not? You see, although this should be one of our most serious considerations, for many people, it is not. There is a very small select few who make any attempt to control or govern their own thoughts. Well, anyone who has made a study of great thinkers, the great decision makers, the achievers of history, will know that they very rarely agreed on anything when it came to the study of human life. However, there was one point on which they were all in complete and unanimous agreement, and that was, we become what we think about. What do you think about? See, you and I must realize that our thoughts ultimately control every decision that we make. You are the sum total of your thoughts, and by taking charge this very minute, you can guarantee yourself even a good day every day. You can start off every day waking up, being thankful and grateful, and refusing to be unhappy, and refusing to let unhappy and negative people or circumstances affect you. Now, let's transition here a little bit, talk about why circumstances get in the way. You see, the greatest stumbling block you will encounter when making important decisions in your life is circumstance. We let circumstance get us off the hook. I'm going to say that part again. You let circumstances get us off the hook when we should be giving it everything we've got. We default to that first circumstance that comes up. The first, I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I can't get off of work. Whatever it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm talking to you so tough tonight is because more dreams are shattered and goals are lost because of circumstance than any other single factor. And please listen to me carefully in case you say, well, Mark, you're being a real tough butt tonight. Well, maybe I am, but understand something. I'm more committed to your success and your dreams than I am to your circumstances and excuses. How often have you caught yourself saying, I would like to do this or I would like to have this, but I can't because, well, you know, whatever follows the word because is the circumstance. Circumstances may cause a detour in your life, but you should never permit them to stop you from making important decisions. In fact, Napoleon said, circumstances, I make them. The next time you hear someone say they would like to vacation in Paris or purchase a particular automobile, but they can't because they have no money, explain. Take the opportunity to explain that they don't need the money until they make the decision to go to Paris or to purchase the car or to come into the business. I said, Bob, we're not having the money. I said, I don't want to offend you. Hold on. You're way ahead of me. We're not having a money conversation right now. We're having a conversation about whether or not the business is a match. Does that make sense? You see, when the decision is made, people figure out a way to get the amount that they need. They always do. Well, what happens if you make the wrong decision? This is something we just brought up a few moments ago. And many misguided individuals try something once or twice, and if they do not hit the bullseye right away, they feel they are a failure. Failing, as I said, does not make anyone a failure, but quitting most certainly does, and quitting is also a decision. You see, by following that form of reasoning, you would have to say when you make a decision to quit, you make a decision to fail. Every day in America, you hear about a baseball player signing a contract that will pay him a few million dollars a year. You should try to keep in mind that same player misses the ball more often than he hits it when he steps up to the plate. He's being paid millions a year, except that he knows and the people contract knows, the owner knows, he's going to miss the ball more than he hits it. Everyone remembers Babe Ruth for the 714 home runs he hit, but they rarely mention that he struck out 1,330 times, nearly twice as much. Charles F. Kettering said, and I quote, when you're inventing, if you flunk 999 times and succeed once, you're in. That is true of just about any activity you can name, but the world will soon forget your failures in light of your achievements. Don't worry about failing. It will toughen you up and get you ready for your big win. And winning is also, guess what, a decision. You see, many years ago, Helen Keller was asked if she felt there was anything worse than being blind. Without even hesitating, she replied, there is something much worse than being blind. She said, the most pathetic person in the world is a person who has their sight but has no vision. I agree with Helen Keller. At 91 years old, J.C. Penney was asked how his eyesight was. He replied that his sight was failing him, but that his vision had never been better. Isn't that great? One of my favorite quotes by Werner Erhard is this, choose. Now choose to love what you chose. Isn't that powerful? Choose. Just that word, period. Choose, period. Now choose to love what you chose. When a person has no vision of a better way of life, they automatically shut themselves in a prison. They limit themselves to a life without hope. This frequently happens when a person has seriously tried on a number of occasions to win, only to meet with failure time after time. Repeated failures can damage a person's self-image and cause them to lose sight of their potential. They, therefore, make a decision to give up and resign themselves to their fate. Take the first step in predicting your own prosperous future. Build a mental picture of exactly how you would like to live. Make a firm decision to hold on to that vision, and positive ways to improve everything will begin to flow into your mind. Many people get a beautiful vision of how they would like to live, but because they cannot see how they're going to make it happen, they release it and let their vision go. If they only knew how they were going to get it or do it, they would have a plan and not a vision, and that's what we're going to be putting in place over the next 2 weeks, by the way. There is no inspiration in a plan, but there sure is in a vision. When you get the vision, freeze frame it with your mind, with a decision, and don't worry about how you will do it at that moment or where the resources will come from. Charge your decision with enthusiasm. That is important. And refuse to worry about how to make it happen. You know, think about this. We make advanced bookings when we fly somewhere. That's very common. We make advanced reservations to eliminate any confusion or problems when the time arrives for our journeys. We do the same when we rent a car or a hotel room. Think of the problems you will eliminate by making many of the decisions that we must make well in advance. Now, I'll give you an excellent example. The exact same concept works with a person when they are on a diet to release weight. Their decisions are made in advance. If they are offered a big slice of chocolate cake, most often they don't have to say, gee, that looks good. I wonder if I should. I wonder if I should. I wonder if I shouldn't. The decision is made in advance. And if it's a strong decision, you know, I made a decision a long time ago that I would not participate in discussions of why something cannot be done. The only compensation you will ever receive for participating in or giving energy to that type of discussion is something you do not want, believe me. I always find it amazing at the number of seemingly intelligent people who persist in dragging you into these negative brainstorming sessions. I distance myself from them, believe me. In one breath, these people tell you they seriously want to accomplish a particular objective. And in the next breath, they begin to talk about why they can't. Think of how much more of life they would be enjoying by making a decision that they will no longer participate in that kind of negative energy. Allow me to provide you with a more relevant example to our business. You know, at the end of this month, in about 3 weeks, ZamZoo is hosting our annual convention in St. Louis. And some of you have made the decision to attend. Some of you have made the decision not to attend. Now, you may say, I don't have the time, or I don't have the money, but remember, we've already covered that, because in reality, these things are not true. You say, well, no, you don't understand my work schedule. You don't understand my family schedule. You don't understand all the things I have to take care of. You don't understand my financial situation. I don't have to know the details of your situation intimately, but I can prove to you, every one of you, that those are not the reasons that you would not go to convention, and here's why. What if you got a call tomorrow from the legal department at YTB ZamZoo? And what if each one of you got a call and the call went like this? You know, Bob, Mary, whatever your name is. This is so-and-so from the legal counsel at YTB ZamZoo. We want to let you know that you won a contest. You didn't even know there was a contest going on. And you've won $1 million from the company. And all you have to do is collect it. It's a certified cashier's check. The contest is over. You won it. You won it totally. It's a check for $1 million. It's already made out to your name. The only thing that you have to do to claim it is you have to be at the company convention in St. Louis. You have to be there for all 3 days. And on the last evening, at the very last 30 minutes of the session, it'll be presented to you in front of thousands of people by Coach Lloyd Tomer and Scott Tomer himself, a check for $1 million. You see, all of you that don't think you have the time off from work, that have kids that you'd have to get a babysitter for, or parents that would have to be looked after, or other situations, or pets, all of you who don't have the money, you would find a way to solve all of those issues to get to the event to claim your $1 million check, without exception. All right, let's begin to wrap this up. The humanistic psychologist, Dr. Abraham Maslow, who devoted his life to studying self-actualized people, stated very clearly that we should follow our inner guide and not be swayed by the opinions of others or outside circumstances. I'm going to put in my personal comment here. I'll tell you something. Be very careful about considering the opinions of others. Make sure if you ever consider someone else's opinion, it's someone that is living a life or accomplishing things that you would like to be able to accomplish, or they have a lifestyle that you would like to have. Because if they don't, if they don't have a lifestyle that you look up to greatly, I don't care who they are in your family. It can be your mama, your dad, your favorite Uncle Bill, or your minister, all due respect. It doesn't matter. If they don't have, if they're not producing and manifesting the results in their life that you want in your life, why in the world would you take into consideration their opinions? See, Maslow's research showed that the decision makers in life had a number of things in common, and most importantly, they did work they felt was worthwhile and important. They found work a pleasure, and there was little distinction between work and play. You know, Jeff and I love to say, and we quote all the time, happy is the man or woman who works and plays and cannot tell the difference. And that's what working in network marketing, direct sales, and working with Zamzu is for us. Dr. Maslow said, to be self-actualized, you must not only be doing work you consider to be important, but you must do it well and enjoy it. Dr. Maslow recorded that these superior performers had values and those qualities in their personalities they considered to be worthwhile and important. Their values were not imposed by society, parents, religion, or other people in their lives. They made their own decisions. And like their work, they chose and developed their values themselves. You see, the truth is, your life is very important, and at its best, it's very short. You have the potential to do anything you choose and to do it well. You must make decisions, and when the time for a decision arrives, you must make your decision where you are with what you've got. Let me leave you with the words of two great decision makers, William James and Thomas Edison. William James suggested that compared to what we ought to be, we are probably making use of only a small part of our physical and mental resources. Stating his concept broadly, the human individual thus lives far within his limits. He possesses powers of various sorts, which he habitually fails to use. And years later, Thomas Edison said, and I quote, if we all did the things we're capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. But by making a simple decision, the greatest minds of the past are available to you. You can literally learn how to turn your wildest dreams into reality. You know, as I close out tonight, I want to say that decisions bring completion, clarity, and direction. These are the larger benefits that we experience from developing the skill set of making decisions. And you know, once a decision is made and we have clarity and direction, we can proceed to the next steps in our plan. We'll be covering those next steps in our next two sessions over the following two consecutive weeks. Realize that there is no motion forward without a decision on your part. And do you know something? Worst of all is this. Should you shrink away from making decisions, remember that the world is at no shortage of other people who will make decisions for you. You see, you can decide to make this business work for you no matter the cost, or you can decide to report to work for the rest of your life and accepting the wage that someone else has determined that you're worth. You can decide that you'll plug into all that we have to offer and make use of it and use the tools. You can learn everything, can learn and build this business side by side with us, or you can continue to allow someone who actually couldn't care any less about you or your family to decide how much time you're going to get to spend with them and whether or not you can be there for the important sporting events, theater, rehearsals, and so forth that your children and other loved ones are in. Remember, it's like Jeff and I always say, take charge of your life or someone else will. Hey, after all, it's your decision. This is Mark Scovern live from Tampa, Florida, and on behalf of Jeff Pelton and myself and all of Maximum Achievement Group, we appreciate our time together with you this evening. Good night.